Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast, in grace and mercy, come from heaven itself to show Thyself to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the Scriptures to read and study about Him, our hearts are grateful to Thee for Thy grace and Thy goodness, which endureth forever. Add Thy blessing to us now as we study. May Thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. We come now in our study of the book of Matthew to the 17th chapter. And I have a feeling that this is put here together with what went before because it, in a sense, completes the picture. The Lord Jesus has just been stressing the fact that He is going to build His church on the foundation of a heartfelt conviction that Jesus is the Christ. That's the way He's going to do it. This is going to involve that He Himself must die and must be raised from the dead. And He then points out that any who would follow Him must be willing to go over the same route. They must be willing to die that they might be raised from the dead. And now in the early part of chapter 17, where we have what is called the Transfiguration, I think we're going to see that this cost of giving one's life in order to have eternal life, of yielding oneself to death, and then taking up the cross to follow Him, is worth it. Because actually, we're going to see now that this person we're following, the Lord Jesus Christ, is far more than just man. When we follow Him, we shall see we're actually following the Son of God. In the latter part of chapter 16, the Lord Jesus said that the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He shall reward every man according to his works. And this was to have been an encouragement to people who would forego this world that they might have that world. The Lord Jesus had said, "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" All of which was to point a man to this, that he would yield to self-denial and give up the things of this world. Then He went on to say that the Son of Man would come in the glory of His Father with His angels and would reward every man according to his works, which would go to show that if you did yield yourself to God, you did give up this world in order to receive the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be in vain. You would actually have the glory of God given to you. Then He went on to say, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." I remember when I first read that, I used to think that that would have a meaning, perhaps something like this, that He was predicting that there would be some of the people standing there that wouldn't die until the Lord Jesus should return the second time, and we'd have the end of the world. In which case, of course, we would now say that He was mistaken, because that was a good many years ago, a good many generations ago. But, looking at it again, see exactly what He said. "There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light." If you read the last verse of the 16th chapter, the first two verses of the 17th chapter together, you'll see that those were the three men who did not taste death till they had seen, actually had a vision of, and had seen the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Now let us look more closely at the Transfiguration itself. "Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." That's the first thing, and of course ever since then we've talked about mountaintop experiences, but here we have them. "And was transfigured before them," just exactly what it says. "His face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light." That's what happened. So here these people went up high to the top of this mountain, and when they were there, suddenly, the Lord Jesus doesn't look the way He looked before. He looks glorious. "His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as light." And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. You remember that Elias is Elijah. Moses and Elijah were there talking to him. Elsewhere we are told that what they talked about. We are told that they talked with him about his deceits which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They talked about him dying. And if you wonder about that, I can tell you that Peter says that the angels desire to look into these things, into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all heaven would be conscious of the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. And what they were going to see was Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, going through the experience of death, which was a tremendous thing. But at any rate here, all Matthew tells us is that Moses and Elijah were talking with him. Moses and Elijah are, of course, two famous Old Testament characters, but they're a little more than that. Moses was the one who gave the law, and of all the men in the Old Testament was outstanding because he gave us the law of Moses. Elijah was the great prophet. There were other prophets, but probably no prophet that ever was so much a real prophet as the prophet Elijah. And then there was something else true. You will remember, and I mentioned this in passing, that Elijah is the man whose body was taken up to heaven in a chariot. You recall that? Well, you know, Moses had an interesting experience along that line. We read that Moses was taken up to Mount Nebo and was not because God took him, and no man has found his grave. There are those who point out that there may not have been any grave. I'm not going to say one way or another. All the record says is that no man found his grave. Whether there was a grave or not, I don't know. We read that the angels took him. I think that possibly the language in one place is that the angels buried him, whatever that would mean. But the angels took him. There is a New Testament passage that says at a certain place that Gabriel contended with Satan over the body of Moses. That's new. That's different. Putting all those things together, there is a strong suggestion of the possibility that Moses' body was taken away even as Elijah's body was, because we do know that Elijah's body was taken away. Whether this is true or not, I wouldn't press. I know that in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we read of two witnesses that John saw, and they were Moses and Elijah. And these two witnesses saw them after preaching for a lengthy time in Jerusalem. They were left as dead on the streets. That would be an interesting thing because in the case of Elijah, he didn't experience death in this world. What happened to Moses, no one knows because he was up on Mount Nebo with God. In any case, these two Old Testament characters are seen here on the Mount of Transfiguration talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you're to understand from that this was no mere vision. I think you're to understand from that this wasn't just an imagination, wasn't just an hallucination. Personally, I think they were actually there. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Which is a way of saying, let us commemorate this. This is such an important occasion. And he would just move to just offer to do anything. Let us commemorate this remarkable thing. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This also is a demonstration from God, and a demonstration of the kingdom of God, of the power of God, of the glory of God, the reality of heaven. All these things together are brought in at this time by way of emphasizing to these three disciples the marvelous reality of the things of God. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Falling on their face would be an act of great homage. A man who would fall on his face on the ground and hide his face would be like a man who would say, I'm not worthy to look on these things to be seen. Fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them, said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. It was all gone. But they know this is so. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You can explain that in various ways, and we don't always have to give a reason for what the Lord Jesus Christ said, but it is interesting to notice how he conditioned this. He said, Don't tell anybody about what has happened until after the Son of Man is risen from the grave, risen from the dead. Which would mean that the people listening would have some better chance to understand it and to grasp it. Then they went on talking. His disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Of course, they had seen Elijah right here, and they wondered about that. Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, but I say unto you, that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. You see, he is saying that John the Baptist was actually the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that Elijah must first come. This helps me in my interpretation of Scripture, and especially my identification or interpretation of prophecy. If you can do that, and this is what the Lord Jesus did, if you can take a passage in the Old Testament that says Elijah must first come, and then you can identify John the Baptist as being Elijah and fulfill the prophecy that way, you can see right away that it'd be almost impossible to predict just exactly from our point of view who is going to be who in the further revelation of God's plan and will. You can be very sure that God's will be done. So on the basis of this insight into the transfiguration, we see there is another world than this one, and it matters now and it matters forever. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in our hearts and minds to be prepared to think on these things and to trust them. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.